Countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Just press that number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things, as we have Dr. Doug Quick in the house again with us again tonight. Now, next week, he will not be with us, but hey, don't worry about it. We will have a program next week. I want to bring a special message to you next week, so I'll sit in for Dr. Doug Quick next week. Hopefully, Lord willing, I'll be able to do and give you a good message just as he does every week. But we won't be worried about that tonight, but let's just keep him in prayer for next week as he is going in for a knee replacement. But first tonight, Sister Ruth, who do we got with us?
We have God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, you, Brother Quick and his wife, and just little old me.
Oh, well, let's remember Emily tonight. She can't be with us. She's got some real serious headache tonight. She got herself one of the migraines, possibly a cluster. So we want to remember her. I know what those migraines are like. Woo-hoo, they could be pretty vicious. Okay, so keep that in prayer. A prayer praise, Brother Quick. A prayer praise. The progress on getting funds for the blind ministry bus, we now are at 15% of what we need, 15%. So that's not too bad, no small potatoes. So we want to thank the Lord for that. Be continuing to keep, of course, all of the situation over in Israel in prayer. Brother Tim, all our nation's leaders in prayer, of course, that they'd get right with the Lord and seek after God, not after man. Of course, all of our military, all our first responders, sick and shut in, our medical personnel, and the lost in general, especially that one who is nearest hell. We want to pray for you tonight, for the Lord to give you clarity of thought, clarity of mind, clarity of speech as you bring the message tonight. All right, Sister Ruth, what do you have for us?
Well, I got a bad sunburn today, and I rammed into a wall. Well, it was just my wheelchair, so I'm not feeling so well tonight. But the Lord's with me, and on the May 8th, I'm supposed to have my injections in my knee. So it's supposed to be a cortisone with steroids.
Well,
so,
Ruth, don't you know running into walls is not your job? That's supposed to be for me?
Yeah, and this was running around in a wheelchair and hitting a wall.
Well, still hitting walls is for me.
Yeah.
That's blind. That's blind people's things.
I messed up this time.
You're trying to take my job. All right. Is that it, Ruth?
Of course, I'm praying for Emily and Reverend Quick and his wife that he goes through his surgery too. I do. Mine's not a surgery.
All right. So, are you complete, Ruth?
Yes, sir.
All right, Sister Quick, what do you got for us tonight?
Well, I think you already mentioned that my husband going for surgery, and I'm going for a test on Tuesday, see if they can figure out what's going on with me, and so I appreciate your prayers. We shall have our four special unspoken, and we have a friend down in Florida that's battling some kind of cough of some kind, and they're quarantine for some reason, can't be out about with anybody, and there's no medication that they can give them to help them, so I don't know exactly what that all entails either, but Phil and Betty would appreciate your prayers as well, and I think with that, I'm complete.
All right, and they say you're going through a CAT scan, you say?
No, I'm going through it for an MRI.
Oh, okay. Because I thought if you're saying you're going through a CAT scan, I was going to wonder what kind of cat.
Okay.
Wow. He's got some cute little comedy talent here tonight.
All right, Brother Quick. All right. Yeah, give us what you got, and then you could go ahead, open us a prayer, get us into the message that God has given you. Amen.
All right. My wife had what kind of a surgery was that?
Laser surgery
on her left eye about a month ago, I guess. And she came through the right eye, you know, in flying colors. But this time with the left eye, her pupil size has not gone down. It's the same size as what, you know, after they dilated her eye before the surgery. And so the doctor has gotten concerned because that's not something that should be. And so I've been keeping an eye on her. I give her her eye drops every day, four times a day. And I have the privilege of being able to see that her pupil size in that left eye is getting smaller. And I'm praising the Lord for that because I'm really asking the Lord to just step in and do a number on her eye. She has a macular degeneration eye disease anyhow, and that is staying stationary, according to what the doctor said. And Doc said, this doesn't have anything to do with that. But eyesight is something, Brother Ken, I say this, and I'm not saying this as a slam to you, but eyesight is something that's priceless. For those, for Brother Ken and for numerous other ones that do not have their eyesight any longer, you can remember, Ken, some of the things that you could see when you were living down in this part of the country. And I'm glad for that because I don't think I've aged a day since then. And my wife was starting to laugh in the background over here. I guess maybe she thinks I've aged, but I don't think she has. She just slowed down more than what I have, amen. But I'm, after 8 long years of going everywhere that I could for these knees, the first knee doctor was doing a good job, but then it got to where the injections were not doing anything. They were making things worse. And he couldn't understand that. And so now I have been sent to his partner. His partner does, the only thing that his partner does as far as surgery is a total knee replacement. And so my first time to see him, the male nurse, I guess it was, came in first and said, Mr. Quick, I see you're here for surgery. I said, I didn't know I was here for surgery. He said, oh, yes, you've got bone on bone in that right knee. I said, well, I didn't know anything about that. So he brought up the x-ray and showed me. He says, from the front side, he says, everything looks super good. He says, but from the back side, we're seeing bone on bone. And he says, that's why you're having so much trouble. And so then the doctor came in. And when he got done running about everything that he was going to do, he just looked at me and he said, Mr. Quick, is there anything else that I can help you with? And I said, yes, sir, there's one more thing. He said, what's that? And I said, do you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And his face and everything about him lit up like it was a big old a floodlight, and he looked at me and he says, Mr. Quick, I want you to know I do know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. He says, that is the best and the only way to make it through life. And he says, I am very proud to be able to tell you that. And so I looked back at him and I said, I will do business with you then. And so I don't know if he's going to be like his partner. His partner, every time I went in for a shoulder surgery or whatever, his partner always prayed with me before he took me in for surgery. And I guess I'm expecting that out of Dr. Bearden. I don't think I'll be too disappointed on it. But he's a born-again child of God, and he knows what he's doing. He's had super good training, and I had to wait an extra month because the last injections that I had, they put that strong stuff in my knees, the cortisone shot. My left knee did wonderful. My right knee did terrible. And so because of that, I have to wait 30 days before they can do any surgery. And so it'll be May the 9th, if I've got the date correct, when I will be going in for surgery. And it's going to be like an outpatient thing. And that kind of blew my mind. I said, what do you mean outpatient? He said, you're going to be there and you're going to be back home. I said, well, I'm just going to be outpatient, Doc. I can just drive myself back home then. And he looked at me, Brother Ken, listen to this now. He looked at me and he said, Mr. Quick, I want you to know that when I get done with you on that surgery, you will not be driving anything anywhere. Are you? And you're not going to be driving anyone anywhere else because you're not going to be seeing anything for a while. I said, well, I don't know a lot like that. He said, well, he said, that's how it is with surgery. He says, you will be on some very strong pain medication. And he says, driving will be totally out. And so I said to him, Doc, listen, I said, my wife really can't drive any longer. And this big, long thing that we're driving now is not like the short thing that we drove for about 8 years. She could handle that. I said, but she can't handle this thing. He said, well, you're preaching every Sunday morning, aren't you? And I said, yes. He said, well, there must be a couple in that church, he says, that will be willing to do something to help you. And I looked back at him and I said, Doc, you don't understand. He says, I think I do understand. He says, I will expect that you have somebody in that church that will be helping you. And so the first time that I stood and said that I was going to need someone to drive us there and drive us back home, and it's not just over in Valdosta, it's in, what's the name of that place?
Adel,
which is a little bit further. Adel has got a brand new hospital, and Dr. Bearden said they will take good care of you. He said they're looking forward to seeing you, and he said they'll take good care of you. And so when I made that remark, a feller in the back row, he stood up and he says, preacher, my wife and I will be glad to take you there and bring you back home. And I looked at him and I says, brother, he said, no. He said, I'm telling you, we just feel that that's some kind of an honor that we can do to help you, and we're willing to do that for you. I said, well, all right. I said, I've already explained to the doctor that we live in Waycross, and I don't want to get any kind of a call from the hospital that we're supposed to be checking in there at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. As when I told the doc, I said, he just looked at me and smiled, and he said, well, the last surgery that I do is usually around 11 o'clock in the morning. He said, that'd be much better, wouldn't I? I said, that'd be much better. Well, he says, I'll drop a note to the nurse and let the nurse know what's going on. And so I had the privilege of looking at the nurse and telling the nurse the same thing. I said, nurse, listen, we live in Waycross, and I don't want to get this phone call that we have to check into the hospital at 6 o'clock in the morning. And she thought that was funny. Well, I don't think I even cracked a smile because I don't think it's funny. And she looked at me and she said, well, you're not laughing. I said, no, sir. No, ma'am, it's not funny. She said, well, I'll make a note of that. She said, make sure you tell the doctor. And she said, we'll both make a note of it. And I said, well, I've told the doctor already. So there's supposed to be two different notes, and I hope the notes get together, Brother Ken. Amen. And I hope that they do get us over there, maybe somewhere around 10 o'clock in the morning. That won't be so bad. It's about 85 or 90 miles from here over to there. So that won't be such a bad time, I don't guess. I hope it's not going to be such a bad time. But the Lord knows exactly what I need. And I'm glad for that because I don't always know what I need. Amen. But the Lord knows so much better about what I need and what you need that's hearing me tonight. The Lord knows what you need also. And so we can just thank the Lord because the Lord is that kind of a God. Amen.
Amen. And it kind of reminds me, Brother Quick, you were talking about that one time. They didn't realize, you know, how far Ashtabula is from Cleveland, and I had to have this one surgery, and they had my surgery scheduled. You were talking about that. They had my surgery scheduled at 6, and I had to be there like 4 a.m. So I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, amen. I know all about that kind of stuff. I've had a whole lot of surgeries, and I know there have been many times I've had to be at that hospital like about 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, good night, nurse. I can't keep doing this.
And I told them, when they told me that, I said, excuse me, but they ain't even got the streets unrolled yet. What are you talking about? You're going to have the – what am I going to have to do? Have the transportation folks driving on dirt because they ain't even got the streets out of the shed yet.
Yeah, and then we told them that they had to have a pizza ready for you too.
I said, shoo. I said, the streets ain't going to be out of the shed. They're going to still be sleeping in the shed somewhere.
My soul. So anyhow, that's how it's going to be, and I know that the Lord is going to take good care of us, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad to know that he is a born-again child of God, and I'm glad that I can honestly look at him and say, I'm willing to do business with you then. And so I will appreciate the prayers of all of our prayer warriors on May the 9th. Hopefully, I'll be going in for surgery somewhere around 10, between 10 and 11 o'clock in the morning, and that'll be just super good timing for sure. And I'll let you all know when I get back just what time I did get in there. And if it's not such a bad time, I'll be able to tell you and laugh about it. But then, you know, I mean, if I got to be up there at 6 o'clock in the morning, I won't be laughing too much about that. Amen. All right. Well, listen, let's pray, and then I'm going to bring the message of the hour. Our Father, thank you so much for Six Eyes Radio Network and for the fact live on the radio again this week. And, Lord, we just pray so much for this radio network, and I'm glad that you hear us, and I'm glad that you have heard us and answered us, and we're just glad to be back here to preach the Word of God again this night. Now, Father, you know all about my surgery coming up. You know all about the MRI that my wife is going through because of her eye. And I believe with all of my heart that you've got every bit of this under control. You're not going to lose a wink of sleep, not slightly at all, because you are our God, and you know everything. Amen. I'm glad that you, my God, know everything, and you know it's been some 8 years that I've been waiting on you to get into a good surgeon, and you've got me there now, and I'm glad for that. And I don't doubt in my heart at all that there's going to be anything found in that MRI with my wife's eye, because I believe that eye pupil, the size is going to go down, and it's going to be totally under your control, and we're just glad for that. Now, for the message this night, I would plead with you that you touch my mind, touch my heart, and touch the minds and the hearts of all that will hear every word that I proclaim this night. I cannot do anything in my own power. You know that, Lord. I've been preaching for some 50 years, and for some 50 years I have known for a fact all I can ever be is just your mouthpiece and your mouthpiece only. And that's all that I can be again this night, is just your mouthpiece. I would plead with you that your blessed spirit would be here to direct me, to direct my thoughts, direct my word, and to direct everything that's said into the very heart of the sinner that be listening that needs to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I'm asking that you would just strengthen each one of us who are born again believers, because even we have weak moments at different times, and I would plead with you that you just use me this night to be the strength that those that are a little bit weak tonight need in order to get by. And we'll sure thank you, and we'll praise you, and we'll thank you for everything now in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter number 2, that's where we will be starting our look. Yourself a question like this about the Lord Jesus. Have you ever in your mind ever wondered, where is he? Where is he? Perhaps there's been a deathly sickness that suddenly has shown up, and maybe it's been a loved one with an unexpected disease, and suddenly they're just gone. I mean, the disease has taken their life, and they're gone. And as there have been times when we have been there right close, and we have asked ourselves, where were you, Lord? Were you here when you were needed? Where were you? And there are different times in the Word of God, three different times, that question was asked concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is he? Matthew chapter number 2, we're going to find a tribe of wise men showing up. They have been following the star that has been put in the sky for them to follow, for them to get to where the Lord Jesus is at. And we find the wording here in chapter number 2, Matthew 2, and verse number 1. And we read these words here. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Well, when Herod was not a Jewish king. Herod was a Roman king that had put himself over the land of Israel. And when Herod heard these words, it troubled him greatly. Verse number three says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. What about that? And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them, listen to this now, he demanded of them where Christ to be born. Isn't that amazing? We're going to see more than one amazing thing tonight. He's called all the scribes and Pharisees together. His question to them is this. There's some wise men, a tribe of wise men have shown up, and they're looking for Jesus, the king of the Jews. They're looking for the king of the Jews. They said, where is he? They've seen his star in the east, and they've come here to worship him. and King Herod calls all the scribes and Pharisees together. This will blow your mind, but listen to this now. And he said, he asked them, demanded of them, where Christ should be born. Now listen to this answer. Listen to this. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Isn't that amazing? They knew precisely where it was that Jesus was going to be born. They knew that, and now they have been told that the wise men have come because they have followed his star, and they've come from the east. They've followed his star. They've come to worship him. And when Herod asked the scribes and Pharisees where it is that Jesus is going to be born, and they tell him exactly where it is that Jesus is going to be born, not the first one of them, not the first one of them got up and left there to go and check to see if it was time for the Lord to be born. Not the first one of them. Isn't that amazing? They knew where he was going to be born. They knew when he was going to be born. Amen. And yet they're still going to sit there on their duffs and not go anywhere. So Herod then privately called the wise men, and he inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. Isn't that amazing? The scribes and Pharisees knew precisely when it was that Jesus was going to be born. They knew precisely where it was that Jesus was going to be born, but not the first one of them got up to go and worship the King of Jews. Amen. Not the first one of them. Wow. That'll blow your mind. So the king calls these five of wise men together. He calls them together privately. Privately. Hello, privately. And he says unto them, he's inquiring of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem. Oh, listen to this now. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now, hold on. There's a lot of things falling into place here that most preachers have never seen. Isn't that amazing? The tribe of wise men have shown up in Jerusalem, and they've come to the king. They said, where is it that the King of the Jews has been born? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. And Herod called all the wise men and the scribes together, and they've told him precisely when and precisely where this King of the Jews was going to be born. Not the first one of them, not the first one of them is going to leave town to go and worship the king. Not the first one. But they know. They know exactly when. That's why King Herod said to these wise men, go and search diligently for the young child. How did he know to say, go diligently for the young child? Why didn't he say, go and search diligently for the baby? Because the scribes and Pharisees had already laid the groundwork in place They had already laid the time when the star was going to appear. They already laid the time work in place, and everything was set in place. And King Herod said to the wise men, you go, and when you find that young child, isn't that amazing? Even the king knew where it was that Jesus was going to be born. Even the king, the Roman king, knew precisely when it was. That's why he's telling the tribe of the wise men, you go and you, when you search and find that young child, you come and tell me so that I can go and worship him also. That's about as lazy as a man could ever get. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. You go and search diligently, and when you find him, you come and tell me so that I can come and worship him also. Wow. Wow. Go and search diligently. Sure you find that one child. Search diligently. Well, when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, verse number 9, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Woo! Listen to this tribe of wise men. Verse number 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Woo! That is, don't you? That's joy on top of joy. Didn't you know that if you're a born-again child of God, you cannot handle joy on top of joy by sitting down? You can't handle joy on top of joy by quietly saying, well, amen. You can't handle joy,
glory,
on top of joy without jumping to your feet and screaming it out, hallelujah. When that
come on.
Happening, you know that you got joy on top of joy. Amen. That's what these wise men are having. When they heard the king, they departed. When they saw the star in verse number 10, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Hold on, listen to this, verse number 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Hallelujah. They followed the star. The star led them right straight to where the young child was. The young child and his mother. Amen. Amen. The young child and his mother. And then these wise men have got some gifts that they're going to give this king. Listen to this now. Listen to this. Verse number 11 again. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. Wow. What kind of gifts is he going to get? I'll tell you what kind of gifts he's going to get. He's going to get gold. Gold is that very gift that kings were given. Then he's going to get the gift of frankincense. What's the gift of frankincense? That's the gift, the very gift that was always given unto God himself. Oh, but that last one, that'll blow your mind. They opened up their gifts, and they gave him gold, they gave him frankincense, and that third gift that they gave him was myrrh, M-Y-R-H, myrrh. What in the world is myrrh? I'll tell you what it is. That was a gift given in honor of one's death. Wow. The Word of God did not lie to us. when it said that this was a cry of wise men, they were wise enough to give this gift of gold unto this young child because they knew that they were giving it unto the king. They were wise enough to give him frankincense because they knew that they were giving him that gift that only God only would give. And this young child was God. And then they were giving him the gift of myrrh. Wow. These wise men, this whole tribe of wise men knew that this king of Jews, this king of the Jews would be king. They knew that he was God, but they also knew that that day was going to come when he was going to give his life. And so they were giving him the gift of myrrh. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? God's word will never, ever get you to the point where you are just bumfounded. It will never. It will never do that. So the first time that we read for this question of where is he is stated was the tribe of wise men that came and they stopped at the king's place, the Roman king's place. He was king over Israel, but he was the Roman king. And they stopped at his place and they said, excuse me, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east come to worship him. And then the king, that king, that Roman king, called the Jewish scribes, the Jewish Pharisees together. And he said to them, I need for you to tell me precisely when this star showed. And they did. They did. They knew precisely where it was that Jesus was going to be born. They told the king that. Not the first one of these scribes, not the first one of these Pharisees, not the first one ever left town to go and see for themselves. They never left town to go and worship the king of the Jews for themselves. No, no, no. But this Roman king, he said to himself, I know what I can do. I can get a hold of these fellers, and I'm sure that they'll tell me precisely when it is that they started seeing this star to begin with. Well, they must have told him. And so the king says, will you go and you search diligently? Search diligently. The word diligence means that he was telling them to go and search and search and search and make sure that this that they found was going to be that very king of the Jews. That's what the king told them. Well, we'll come back here to Matthew chapter 2 in just a few moments. But the second time that we read question of where is he is in John chapter number 7. John chapter number 7. And I'll read a few verses to get us to where we're going to end up at. Chapter number 7. After these things, verse number 1. Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Listen to this now. The Feast of the Tabernacles, listen to this. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself unto the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, verse number 6, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. Hello, child of God, you listening to me? You listen to the word of God? You don't have a specific time when you can get up and go and witness for the Lord. No, you don't have just a special time. Your time is always ready. That's what Jesus just said. He said in verse number 6 again, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. There's never an excuse to get away from the fact that you and I, as a born-again child of God, there's never a time when we can excuse ourselves away from the fact of witnessing. Never. Verse number 7. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Isn't that amazing? We're reading here in John chapter number 7. Jesus knows that the Jews are trying to kill him. Why are they trying to kill him? Well, you back up just a little bit to chapter 5 of John chapter 5. John chapter 5. John chapter number 5. Amen. And look at these verses of scripture with me tonight. There was a certain man in John chapter 5 who had an awful time with his health. Verse number 1, chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent people, folk, of blind, the halt, the withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever therefore then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Verse number 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Wow. He's not been able to walk for the past 38 years. He's tried to stay close to that pool, and any time that the water was troubled, always beat him down there. So there he was, still suffering, not able to get up and walk, having been that way for 38 years. Verse number 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, here's the words of the Lord Jesus. Listen to this. Wilt thou be made whole? Wow. Jesus says to this man, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me down into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus says unto him, listen to this. This is the words of the Lord Jesus. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on that same day, it was the Sabbath. Wow. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." They asked him, then asked they him, "What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. Wow. He's been 38 years not able to walk. Now that he's been healed, the found is in the church house. Woo! Hallelujah. He's in the church house. Wow. He departed, and afterward Jesus found him in the temple and said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Listen to verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Now we get back to chapter 7. And we're going to find this question one more time. The question wasn't asked in John chapter 5, but it is asked here in chapter 7. The Jews had put such a fear in the hearts and minds of everybody there, the Feast of the Tabernacles. They had said unto everybody they could find, if you find out where Jesus is at, you let us know where he's at. Don't you try to hide it from us, because he's not going to hide from us. So Jesus goes up to the temple, and he ends up teaching in the church house. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Verse number 10. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Listen to verse number 11. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he? Why are they so much against him?" Because he'd healed a man that had been an impotent man for 38 years in chapter number 5. But he'd healed him on the Sabbath day. But now the Jews are coming around, and they're saying this to everybody. "Where is he?" And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, "He's a good man." Others said, "Nay, but he deceiveth the people. Howbeit, no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews." Now, when about the midst of the Jews, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" And Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Well, then the people started getting on to Jesus. Verse number 20, the people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" Jesus had just told them the Jews was trying to kill him. And now they're trying to play it off. "You must have a devil. Who's going around trying to kill you?" Well, they knew who it was. But you see, here in chapter number 7, we're seeing where the Lord Jesus has shown up. The Jews have already asked the question, "Where is he? Where's he at? We're looking for him. We're going to put him to death because he's broke the Sabbath so many different times. Where is he? You tell us where he's at." Well, the Jews put pressure on everyone at this feast because of their desire to do away with Jesus. Look at verse 25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? Huh. Somebody knows the truth. The Lord sent his disciples to the feast, and then he went up secretly. But you see, these people have already made up their mind about Jesus. Look at verse 27. Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. The people had made up their minds concerning the Lord Jesus. The Jews, powered by the Pharisees, wanted to kill Jesus, all because he'd healed a man at the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath day in John chapter 5. Well, we're not done yet. Let's look at the third time. John chapter number 9. John chapter number 9, we're going to see this third time. Question was always asked when Jesus was on the wanted list of those who wanted to do away with Jesus. Where is he? This question was always asked, and everybody knew that he was on the wanted list. Amen. Well, let's look at chapter number 9. Let me begin reading in number 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Verse number 8, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, and sent me, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? Wow. He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that afore was blind. It was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay onto mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? And he that he hath opened thine eyes. And he said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, and he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents and of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. And who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words, verse 22, spake his parents because they feared the Jews, For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be thrown out of the synagogue. He should be put out of the synagogue. So his parents said, well, go ask him. He's of age. Go ask him. They didn't want to be thrown out. So they came and asked the man that had been blind, asked him one more time. And he said, I have told you already, and ye did not believe. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Verse 27. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, but as we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that had been born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Wow. Ain't that amazing? They cast him out. Well, I can go on with this story just a little bit more, and I think I will. There was a deacon in Acts chapter number 7. He knew something that the scribes and Pharisees refused to know. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He had met him. And the scribes and Pharisees took this deacon. His name was Stephen. And they took him off to the side and they began to question him. Well, they got a whole lot more of what they planned on from him, because he just cut loose and went to preaching. Amen. He cut loose and went to preaching. And chapter number 7, toward the end of that chapter, listen to these words. Verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul of Tarsus. We'll get into him some other time. And they stoned Stephen, who was calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. You see, Stephen wasn't asking, where is he? He already knew where he was at. They had dragged him out of the city. You see, Stephen opened up his mouth and cut loose on them. Verse number 51 of this same chapter. Listen to the words coming from Deacon Stephen. Listen to this. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers. Wow, that's pretty tough preaching, don't you think? Stephen knew what he was doing. I'm sure that Stephen knew that Saul of Tarsus was right there watching. Saul of Tarsus was the one that was in charge, because Saul of Tarsus was one who had put it in his own mind that he was going to do away with these Christians, because every time that he did, he just felt like he was doing God a big-time favor. Amen. He just felt like he was doing God a big-time favor. Uh-huh. That's what he thought. He thought that until he was on the road to Damascus. He had letters from the scribes and Pharisees to catch all of those Christians and women and harness them up, bring them into jail. He didn't care if they was dead or if they was alive. Amen. Because he was right here and he was listening to what was going on. He heard the words of Stephen. That was one thing that caused for Saul of Tarsus to understand what conviction of the Spirit of God was on his heart, because he could never get away from those words of Stephen. And Stephen knew that it was not just Saul that was hearing him. Stephen knew that all these other scribes and Pharisees was hearing him also. But you see, isn't that amazing? Our God knows everything. Hello? He knows everything. He knows from the very first word that I ever preached until now. He knew exactly what kind of trouble I was going to be in. He sure did. He never doubted about the trouble I was going to be in. He knew precisely what the trouble was going to be. He knew precisely about every night that I would cry unto him, pleading with him that he would strengthen me. He knew that. He knew that before the foundation of the world was ever put in place. He knew that. My God is a know-it-all God. Amen. I don't say that with a spirit of pride. I say that with a spirit of knowledge, because that's exactly what my God is. He knows everything about everybody. Amen and amen. But you see, that's how it was. Three different times, those words came, first of all, from the wise men, second and third of all, from the enemies of the Lord Jesus. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? And Jesus was right there. Amen. He was always right there. Jesus never tried to hide from anybody. Never, never, never. But you see, where is he? That could be a question that somebody has already had rolling around in their minds, even tonight. Where's he at? Where's he at? He's not very far away. He is not so far away that he can't hear you pray. He can hear every word that you pray. He knows every heartache that you've ever had. He knows every burden that you've ever had. He knows. But he knows more than just knowing. He knows exactly what it's going to take to bring you the place of victory. Amen. Our Father, thank you for these moments together tonight. I would plead with you even now that your blessed spirit would be just camping out. You've already found hearts. You already know that. You know about every heart that has never trusted you to save their soul yet. You know all about that, Lord. I would plead with you even now that your blessed spirit has already found a parking spot, and that conviction of the Spirit of God will be on the hearts of people that have heard me. Oh, dear Father, there is nothing so good, nothing so much better to know Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior, And that's what every other child of God has always said all through the years. Amen. So, Lord, just be with us this night now and help us to hear you and help us to respond to exactly how you're speaking to us. And we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my snail mail address, I'll get those words out after all. My snail mail address is 1122, that's 1122 Church Street, and that's Waycross, Georgia. Waycross is spelled capital WAYCROSS, just one word, Georgia. Our zip is 31501. And we live right here in the southeastern corner of the great United States of America. And Ken, today was prayer day. President
Biden.
No, it's not Biden. President Reagan.
Ah.
Set this day up a good number of years ago, and this is the annual day of prayer. And I know all across the state of Georgia especially, there's been much prayer that has been offered. We are pleading with God for revival to break out, and revival can break out just in one little spot. That's all it takes, just one little spot. And God can do anything and everything from a revival breaking out in one little spot. I have seen that. I've been a part of that. And I know for a fact that is the best way to go in all of the days of anybody, is to become revived and know that you're revived and know that God is doing a work in your heart. Amen and amen. Brother Ken.
Amen. And if you wish out there to get a hold of Brother Quick, especially if you're one of our listeners overseas, wish to get a message to him a little quicker, just send a letter or an email through email to me at feel, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch, T-O-U-C-H, King, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com, feel and touch king at gmail.com. In the subject line, just put question or comment for Brother Quick, and then just type out your message, send it to me. We'll print it out, send it right to Brother Quick, and then once he sends a reply, we'll turn that into a PDF and attach it to a reply to you and get it right back to you, and it'll be there a lot quicker than just having to try to get a letter overseas and back. So that is also an option for our overseas listeners. But, Brother Quick, that was a good message. I kind of like that, talking about those out there that were asking where he was and all that. And when you got into John chapter 5, I was remembering how I've preached on that chapter quite a few times when, a lot of people, they forget. There's some out there, they preach that chapter and they make off like, will thou be made whole? And they talk about, Jesus, they forget that right there is proof that the healthy, wealthy crowd is kind of wrong, because there was a great multitude in all those porches, but only one Jesus, only one Jesus
yeah.
healed. The rest of them, he left there.
That's right.
He left there. And you don't hear the healthy, wealthy crowd preach on that.
Amen, brother.
I mean, the healthy, wealthy crowd kind of forgets that. It said there was a great multitude in those five porches, but one, just that one man that had been laid there for 38 years, Jesus looks at him and says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And so that's an interesting one. But speaking
Amen.
of Speaking of next week, just to remind everybody, Brother Quick, like you were talking about, you're going to have your surgery, and I'll be standing in for you. Just to kind of get them interested, maybe even you might want to listen in, even though you may not be preaching, Brother Quick. The title of my message for next week will be A Character to be Desired. We'll be kind of jumping all over the Bible for that, but A Character to be Desired.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say any more, but that's it. Might whet your appetite. All right. Well, we hear Brother Six there. What do you think, Brother Six? Any questions or comments?
Great message. Great message as always. Hello, First Lady Quick, Brother Dr. Quick. Praying that the surgery goes well next week. 38 years before he could walk?
Yeah.
That's it.
Wow. Wow. That's a long time.
And Jesus knew everything about that, too. I mean, it didn't take Jesus by surprise because the Lord knew all about him.
Yes, sir. Yes. And then the eyesight was restored with the clay. Wow. That's powerful stuff. Powerful stuff.
It sure is.
Yes, sir. So, like I said, great message. And if you all missed it, you can go back in the rewind and check out Dr. Doug Quick every Thursday here on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. Powerful message always. So if you missed it, check it out and rewind. With that, I'm complete.
And, Brother Quick, Six failed to mention something that's coming up here. Six, as well as the other preacher that you've heard on the 6 Eyes Radio Network when we've done our tag teams, Pastor Bonnet, well, they've decided in order to help the blind ministry toward getting the bus, they both bowl, okay? They both bowl, and they've decided to do what they call the 6 Eyes Bowl Off, okay? And what that is they're going to take each, they're going to bowl several games, find out who gets the highest score. Basically, it's like they're bowling against each other, and then for whatever the highest score is, then they're going to say, use that as their, whether it's $1 per point or $2 per point, they're going to decide on that, is what the goal will be that they're going to try to raise here at the 6 Eyes Radio Network toward the bus for Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
That sounds good. Amen.
So just let you know the progress, it's just getting started. Six is going to do his bowling this Sunday, so we're going to see how Six does. he's going to be taking on Pastor Bonnet. That's going to be pretty interesting. See who's the better bowler. Six says he's
going to take
him on.
Yeah, I don't know why he wants to put himself through that, but it's going to be something. Because when I hit that bowling alley, we're not friends, so...
Brother.
So we got the blind guy against the sighted preacher.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
So
that sounds like fun.
So Pastor Bonnet's gonna have to pray for a good score.
Yes,
uh-huh.
Yes.
All right. Well, Sister Emily, since you're on with us, first off, how you doing? And secondly, because we did pray for you with what was going on, any improvement? And number two, what'd you think of the message? Any questions or comments?
It was a very good message, and right now I'm sitting in the ER with an IV in my arm.
Okay, so they're still checking you out. Okay. Well, then we'll keep you in prayer.
Yeah, and thank God they got this room dark as a devil's place because lights are killing me.
Yeah, I know how it is. I get those myself, but not the clusters like you sometimes get. So I could feel for you. So let's pray they figure out how to help you. That's definite. Okay. Any other prayer requests, then?
Also, my neighbor Faye right now, she's in ever at Country Club Retirement or Rehab, and she's wanting prayer to for God to give her knowledge on whether to stay there and go into assisted living or coming back to her apartment.
Okay.
Hello,
Emily.
Feel better?
Doctor, because he's. Thank you, boss man.
Yes, ma'am. And let me say happy birthday to my cousin Jackie. Happy birthday from the 6 Hours Radio Network. And mental is good. Two thumbs up for myself and two paws up for Trumpet.
What's our buddy Trumpet doing, boss man?
Well, Trumpet is running back and forth in here, saying hello, running away. He's playing right now. So he'll play himself till he gets tired.
All right. Are you complete with your prayer request there, Em?
Also be keeping my mom in prayer. She had a little falling for the room today, so they had to take her out to Geneva and get her checked up, make sure she didn't get seriously hurt.
Okay.
She also said to tell her handsome, talented son hello, and she loves him.
Hello, Mama.
Okay.
She said to tell Brother Quick that she's been listening in on our broadcast on the iHeartRadio, and she said she loves his preaching.
Yeah, well, I sure enough miss it, like when this goofy station goes nutty and we miss it. You know, that's not good. Not good. So.
No. Don't like that either.
That makes it bad.
Well,
so
it's definitely out of our control when that happens. So we won't even discuss that.
No, that's why I said that's why we got. I was going to continue to say we need to be praying for that.
Right.
Definitely need prayer for our station that our network doesn't go bonky on us.
So, and while we're here live on air, Blog Talk. If you are going to do maintenance, it would make all the sense in the world. It's just like a highway. The less cars on the highway is when you would do maintenance. You wouldn't go to try to tar a road when it's wall-to-wall traffic. So what I suggest when there's not shows going on and it's light shows, no shows at all particularly, that's when you do your maintenance. Don't decide to do your maintenance when shows are coming up. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Good idea, Six. Let them know. That's it. Amen.
That's right.
Good job.
Thank
all
you,
right.
Complete.
Okay. Well, we got to hear. That's who I was going to hear from next. Mrs. Quick, what did you think of the message? Any prayer requests you missed earlier? What have you?
Oh, I'm just, I don't know. I just haven't felt very good today. So.
Uh-oh.
Appreciate your prayers.
Yes, feel better, First Lady. I'll be praying.
I appreciate it a lot. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
It's always a good message, and I always enjoy hearing my husband preach.
Right. And Ms. Quick, who are you going to be rooting for, Six or Pastor Bonnet?
Six, of course.
Thank you.
Six, of course. Okay. You got to vote for you, Six.
Thank you.
How about you, Brother Quick? Six or Pastor Bonnet?
Brother Six, that's all there is to that now, bud.
Okay.
All
we
right.
got two
Amen.
For you, Six, so you got to live
Amen.
Up to it. You got to live up to it.
Brother Six, too.
uh-oh, we got Ruth, you got me, so, buddy, you better do a real good job. We're all going to be disappointed. And if you really mess up,
yeah.
Brother Crick is going to have to preach you one heck of a good message.
Oh, and that won't happen, but it will be a good message, but it won't be because of my bowling.
When are you doing that?
He's doing his Sunday.
I'm throwing a 14-pound ball, so I don't know what size what pound his ball is, but I'm throwing a 14-pound.
Oh yeah, good night. You get that 14-pounder going straight, you can just knock anything over.
Oh yes. And you know the crazy thing about bowling is, it's only 39 little boards. That's how big the lane is. 39 little boards.
I hear you.
And I tell you, one time I went too far, and when I tell you they have those floors oiled, oh my God, yes. I even made a new dance move. I slipped on that floor.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. Yes, indeed.
I hope you didn't get hurt.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Just made a new dance move. I was okay.
Yeah, okay. I'm happy then that you're all right. Yep.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Ruthie, we didn't get you. Any last questions or comments?
Oh, wonderful sermon. Everybody is so interesting what you're saying tonight.
Okay. Well, I already gave my comments. So with that, I think we're going to turn it back over to Brother Quick. And let him give us a closing prayer. And just want to remind everybody, join the programs tomorrow, of course, on Station 2. We have Brother Six and My Daddy's Records. That is at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. tomorrow. Make sure my times are right. 6 p.m. Eastern on Station 2. And you call 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340. And then, of course, this station.
No, sir. 424-243-9617. Where's your coffee?
I think I drank it all up.
Well, we got
okay.
Some more.
All right. Okay.
Well, you've been drinking Coke.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You guys switch with AJ. That's right. You're on Station 1 at 6 p.m. on 424-243-9617. AJ is on Station 2 at
8:30. Yes.
8:30. Okay. All right. So everybody will want to join both of those programs and check them out. So with that, Brother Quick, you got the floor for our closing prayer.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Isn't that amazing? Brother Six, you don't have four or five different stations around it. Everybody just really get all tongue-tied trying to get up all this stuff. Uh-huh. All right. Well, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for these moments together tonight. And thank you because this is our family. And we're glad for that. We're glad for Brother Six and for his good spirit all the time. And for Brother Ken and for his good spirit. And have a little trouble seeing myself, but I can still see. I can still drive. I just don't know exactly what it would be like if I lost my sight. And when Brother Ken saw us down here the last, he could still see some. And now he's lost all of his sight. So I'm just asking you, just keep your hand upon him and protect him wherever it is he goes. Dear Brother Six, protect him, and thank you for just a good spirit, just like a family meeting tonight, and I'm glad for that. And Lord, we would plead with you that you be with those sinners that will hear our this message one day soon. I would hope there'll be a sinner that will hear it one day soon, trust Christ to save their soul. And that's what it's all about, Father. We're just so glad to be your spokesman and just to be your mouthpiece, and that's it. And I'm glad that you have given me that privilege. I'm glad that after 50 years, it's just getting better and better all the time. I'm asking you to be with Miss Emily, that you just continue to touch her head. And I've never had headaches like what she has. But you know all about that. And I would just plead with you that you just minister unto her and touch her in a very special way. And for the doctor's visits that are coming up and stuff. And I've got a surgery coming up in about a week. And we'll sure enough appreciate our prayer warriors to be praying for us on that. And if for Miss Quick, she's going in for an MRI just 2 days before I go in for surgery. And she will appreciate our prayer warriors remembering her on the 7th of May. And Lord, we already know, you know everything there is to know about what it is that we're going through. And I would plead with you even now, that you just be with my wife, that you just touch her eye that's never come back down to normal size. I would plead with you, you just touch it. And you just minister unto her and just help her. She's always been beside me for more than 57 years and beside me all the time. And I'm glad for that. So, Father, for those other requests that were given, that you'd be with Israel. And for Brother Tim, that you just keep him safe while he's over there. And, Lord, for those that think that they can wipe Israel off the face of the map, no, 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 no. Israel is your people, and they're living on the land that you gave them, and there's not going to be any business of anybody removing them from this world, not in the slightest little bit. So I would plead with you, just touch Israel and that you protect them, even in these moments. We'll sure appreciate you for that. America is in dire need of revival. This has been that day of prayer President Reagan set in place so many years ago. Father, I would plead with you for revival to begin to break out here and there. That's all it takes, is a spot here and a spot there, and you'll grow up from that, and we know that. And so I would ask even now that you just minister unto each one of us, that you'd strengthen each one of us. You know exactly how to strengthen us. Be with Brother Ken and help him in all that he does. And that you'd be with his wife. She got some sunburn today, and that's hard to believe up there in that part of the country, but I guess most any time of the year you get out in the sun very much, and sunburn can easily take place. So I'm just asking you just minister unto her and help her. That you be Miss Emily's neighbor. That you just minister unto her also, and for her mother. She's fell. Lord, that's never a good thing to have. And I would plead with you, you just minister unto her mother and just keep her from breaking any bones. And we'll sure thank you for all that you do. Thank you for Success Radio Network and for every week you've given for us to be here to preach the Word of God. I'm asking you just continue to minister those that we will never meet in this lifetime, and we know that. But we also know that you know who they are, and one day we will meet on the underside, and we'll be glad for that. So just watch over us throughout this night now and just strengthen each one of us and help each one of us to understand you're with us every moment of every day. You're with us every moment of every night. And I would plead with you, you just by and strengthen each one of us even through this night. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, y'all.
Yeah. Good night. God bless everybody. God bless Catch you tomorrow.
Good night, everyone. Love you, everyone. Bye.
Good night. Good night.
Phone sex always calls you first lady. First lady.